This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, welcome back to the Golf Show. We are sitting out on the deck at Manor Valley Golf Course in Export, looking at the number one fairway, and seeing some geese out there having a good time. Anyway, welcome back. It's a great day, it looks like, so far here. And where my next guest is, or my first guest of the day, is located, I'm sure it's a pretty nice day, too. Tim Rosefort has been on the show several times. He's almost earned friend of the show status, but he's a friend anyway. He's in Florida, and I'm very, very pleased to have him on with me this morning. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm doing great on a Saturday morning here. I think it's Saturday morning anyway. And beautiful day here in Jupiter, Florida. It's hot, but there's been a nice breeze the last week, and it doesn't seem like it's been too hot yet anyway. And so we're enjoying it while we got it. And looking forward to the next phase of this championship series. Anyway, I won't say major championship series, but it's been quite a lot of fun to cover it and exhausting at times, and we're not even hitting shots. But it's been quite a showcase for the game, and the right people have stepped up and really produced a lot of energy and a lot to talk about.
It's funny you said that, because that was the first thing I was going to ask you about, what your opinion of the new schedule is. It certainly changes how people think about golf. And the example I used the other day was there were just in PGA week, which is different, of course, and I'm already thinking about qualifiers for the U.S. Open, which will just be a couple more weeks down the road. I think overall I like the change.
I do too, because you can always look forward to something that's not that far away and start hooking a lot of your what's going on in the news as it relates to form. And for example, Jordan Spieth and what he's doing right now with his comeback he's making, and he turned to be correct. He wasn't in a slump. He was in a slump in boldface with the was. So but that's just one example. You know, the other part of it was, look at what it's produced. McIlroy at the Players with a thrilling finish. Woods at the Masters, one of the most historic moments in golf you'll ever witness. And then this battle between two buddies in Koepka and DJ, and the level that they played on, and what Koepka showed from a standpoint of being able to face some adversity at the end of a tournament, a major, and then to still get it closed was all I know is that that's the first time anybody around him has remembered him pumping his fist like that when he made that crucial putt. So he realized, I think, it was a great lesson for him going forward in winning majors, in terms of it's not as easy as maybe he made it look a couple times. But the end result is that it was Koepka and DJ, and now we're off to the U.S. Open, where you can break the golf course down. I'm sure this is on your table of subjects this morning. It's a little bit different, obviously, than the ones the players have faced thus far. And, you know, who plugs into that from a standpoint of history and also the standpoint of their style of play. And that'll be, before we know it, we'll be out in the Monterey Peninsula in one of the most beautiful places in the world, seeing what's next in this series.
Yeah, and we can assume that Tiger's not going to win the Open by 1,000 like he did in 2000, I think.
But yeah, anyway, but it was 2002,
He just blew that place away. It was
by
crazy.
15, right? It was 15, right, Mike? Yeah, 15. He was at 13, and Els and I think Angel Cabrera were at 12. my math's right.
Yes.
And I remember one of the two saying that they were basically playing for the second flight that week. And
yep.
No, and I don't think we'll ever see that kind of domination again. That's safe to say is part of the Wood legacy that will stand up over the course of time.
I wanted to go back and ask you about the Brooks Koepka. You know, he has, they're not strong ties, but he has ties with Western Pennsylvania. He's Dick Groat's great nephew.
That's
right.
And,
you know, he has spent time up at Dick Groat's golf course, and really that's where he's kind of got his start to golf. So there's a lot of people rooting for him here, and there are a lot of people who took his side in this little contest with he and Brandel Chamblee. What did you think of all that?
Well, it's a good way. It's Brandel being Brandel. I mean, he believes in his opinions, and he's not afraid to present them. And you know, we had columnists in my career along the way that served that role. Bernie Lincecum, who never wrote in Pittsburgh, but he wrote in Fort Lauderdale, and he wrote in Denver and Chicago, but always to take a contrarian's view and be the quote unquote bad guy or the critic. And you know, with that comes the retribution of an athlete. Who, you know, let's face it, Koepka wasn't happy with what Brandel was saying. And so it added to his fire. And at the end of the day, you know, maybe he should be thanking Chamblee for that ultimate burst of whatever it takes to close out tournaments, to show people that, oh, yeah, well, I'm really, you know, you're underestimating me. And you're disrespecting me as a byproduct of that. And so, you know, Koepka went out to make sure that he was respected. I think Chamblee's starting to turn around a little bit. But we'll see. You know, it's another major coming up in a couple of weeks. And again, to his brand and to what he's done, you know, it's perfect fodder for Brandel, to tell you the truth, in the way he does his business.
Yeah. So I was there in 2002 and, you know, walked the golf course and actually got to play it the day after the final round. I got picked in the media lottery, and that was a lot of fun, sort of. With the Open and the setup, to me, I don't know that the Bombers have all that much of an advantage out there. Do you?
Well, they always do, but not as much. You know, you think about who won this year in Mickelson, and when he had all that clubhead speed work, and he still does, but that was the first time in all the times he played Pebble Beach Golf Links that he reached the 14th hole in two shots. I think he did it with a driver and a wedge. That's a dogleg right up the hill with the most difficult green on the property, and it led in part to his win over Paul Casey. So, and Tiger obviously was a power player when he went through there and won by 15. So, you know, it just depends upon where the long ball's going that week. If it's going straight enough to manage it and to keep it in play, so to speak, or in position, then it's a big advantage. But it's a tighter golf course. More people will be in contention as a byproduct of its length and its demands, but you know, that's always been the case, and Pebbles had some obviously world-class players win it over the course of time, whether it's the AT&T or, you know, now the U.S. Open once again.
Yeah. You have covered golf, I don't know how many years, and I won't make a guess because you'll get mad at me because I guessed too high.
I'm past that. So 1980 was my first major, and I started covering golf in the late 70s, mostly LPGA stuff in Florida, but I did sneak in a couple of Honda Classics before that PGA to Jack one up at Rochester, where they're playing at Oak Hill.
Right. Yeah, right. So having been around the game as long as you have, you've seen all the changes that have happened, you know, every 10 years or so. You know, it's a little different than it was before. where do you see the game now? And I'm basing this question on, you know, we have had and have that group, a core group of young guys, quote unquote, who are dominating the game or have dominated the game. You know, Ricky Fowler, he hasn't won a major yet, but he's always mentioned. Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, you know, Dustin Johnson, the whole group of them. Does it seem to you that the talent level and the talent core is expanding, and maybe it's at its biggest level that we've ever seen?
Well, they're just better athletes now, Mike, across the board. I mean, you can say it's the equipment, but it's partially the equipment, but it's more so the athletic ability of the players are playing now, whether no matter what size they are, from Justin Thomas up to Dustin Johnson. And any comparison you want to make with these kids, and then you throw in the Tiger component and his comeback, and you know, we'll see what happens at Memorial now, and judge that as it relates going forward to Pebble. But at least he's in a game. Mm-hmm. That's good. It's good news. You know, there was, you know, when he had to, it didn't look great at the, obviously at the PGA Championship. Didn't really have, he said he didn't have it in his head to, in his heart to a certain extent to go out and practice and to do what it took to compete mm-hmm. At Bethpage. So he, you know, he missed the cut. He was pretty good for the first round, but I just, where I'm going with this is that the level, the bar is raised, you know, so high now from an athletic standpoint that a lot of guys just don't have what Koepka's got, for example. You know, he's got the ability to smash it, but he's also got this strong will about him that we haven't seen since Tiger as it relates to staying power. It seems like, I know it's only been a couple of years for him, but it just seems like he's going to be around chasing double digits in majors as long as he's able to walk. And so that's the element that's interesting. And you go back to the Woods era, let's not downplay all the Hall of Famers that he beat, Mickelson and Els and Singh and Goosen, who's going in at this latest round in the Hall of Fame. And I know I'm missing a couple others. But, you know, the point is that Tiger beat some good players too. And didn't win every time, but dominated, obviously, and won by big margins and did things that nobody ever did. So, you know, nine wins in a season being one of them. So,
right.
You know, but Koepka seems like, I don't know if he has the will to make that putt like Tiger did at Torrey Pines across the Poana to extend that U.S. Open against Rocco for another day.
Yeah.
But he's got the mental strength to hang in there. And with Dustin Johnson, you know, chasing him down, close that, get that thing done, and I think, you know, over time the will thing we'll see it. There'll be a putt that he really needs to make, and we'll see, you know, that's mm-hmm. there's mental strength and there's the willpower to execute that, and that'll be interesting to see. But I know one thing around the country right now: more and more kids are practicing golf as they see Koepka and they think of, well, that kid, you know, or you project Koepka, he could play. Looks like on your high school baseball or football team, maybe basketball team.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he's a big kid. He's not, we exaggerated when we talk about NFL outside linebackers. He's not quite that big, but
yeah, right.
If he was, he'd probably be tough enough to handle the position,
I would think. Hey, Tim, the time has gone by too quick. We just scratched the surface of the things I would like to talk to you about, so maybe we'll do this again on down the road, and hopefully for the British Open, for sure, keep our tradition going.
We got to do it,
and I'll look forward
to
that.
Sure. Yeah, maybe we get on before
Tim.
Before
thanks
the, before you got it. I'll just say, you know, I'm available if you need me before we go to Pebble. So I hope to talk to you.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thanks
a lot, Tim.
You got it. Yeah.
That's Tim Rosefort from Golf Channel. One of the best guys out there, and as you could hear, he knows pretty much what's going on. All right, it's time for another break. You're listening to The Golf Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.